Welcome, everyone, to the Ira Kaufman podcast here on JoeBucksFan.com. I think it is America's favorite Bucks podcast, even if more people listen to Bucks Uncensored by the Commish.
Whoa. See, you're starting off with an insult already. We're not a minute into this podcast, Isbits.
I'm not insulting. I'm celebrating your podcast, Ira, which is available on iTunes. You may be listening there right now, but if not, it's right there on iTunes. You can subscribe to the Ira Kaufman podcast. Simply go to podcast and search Bucks or Buccaneers. Easy stuff. Also on podbean.com and many of the other podcasting platforms.
Jason Pawlowski knows that somebody's gaining on him, Steve. Let's just put it like that. Jason, I'm coming after you, Jason. Make that Justin.
Ira, I got to tell you, probably the most celebrated lines from one of our podcasts in Phoenix was you relaying the story deep into the podcast. This is how closely people are listening.
It was a throwaway line. It was a throwaway line
20 minutes into a podcast that has Bucks Nation buzzing. You actually explained the great story that Arthur Blank, owner of the Falcons, calls you Irv for the last 9 years.
I've known him since he in 2002, the Buck Championship season. I believe that was the year that Blank purchased the Falcons. It was his first year at the helm. The Trib used to send me, Steve, to different training camps. I used to go to the Falcons in Flowery Branch, and I would hit the Panthers in Spartanburg, maybe a 2 hour drive in between. And I would go every summer, and you know they'd lay out the red carpet for me. And that was back when the Trib had money, and the Trib was flush. And so I got to know Arthur Blank a little bit, and that's how I got to know John Fox. And, Steve, you know this. You've heard it in the room when we get Fox, you know, now with the Bears, on the conference call, Steve. And, you know, Stroud asks his question and Cummings asks his question. Jenna Lane asks hers. Then I go, how you doing, Mr. Fox? And he always goes, what's going on in Tampa, Ira? And everybody laughs. And that's how you get to know these guys in person. So that's how I got to know Blank.
Well, it was a phenomenal story, and people are referring to you as Irv in the comments. That's the way
they're going to be calling me Irv now, Steve. You got to stop this.
Well, actually, at the end of your great column that you wrote on Monday, if you missed it, go back on JoeBucksFan.com. You'll find it. Ira writes his columns Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Presented, of course, by Ed Moore's Cadillac Tampa and Ed Moore's Cadillac Brandon. Proud presenters of all of Ira's work, everything he does. In that column at the end, Ira, italics, I put in Ira Kaufman, pens his columns on these days. He does his award-winning podcasts. And at this one, I put at the end, and Arthur Blank refers to him as Irv for the last 9 years.
You're going to be milking that for the whole 2017 season. It is funny because, Steve, am I going to correct a multi-billionaire? Yeah, you know, the guy was the co-owner of Home Depot. He made a fortune. Now he's the owner of the Falcons. They're worth a billion and something. He's got a new stadium coming online, which I think is going to be unbelievable. Wait till Buck fans get a look at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. You'll be probably going this year, and you'll get a look at it.
I hope so.
Steve, is a little schnook from Brooklyn going to correct Arthur Blank about his name? So well, I let it go for 8-9 years.
Well, Arthur Blank's from Queens. Are you going to take that?
You know? He did. He went to Stuyvesant High School, Steve, and you and I both know that you got to be pretty sharp to go to Stuyvesant.
Yeah.
You and I did not go to Stuyvesant.
No, I didn't live in New York, but I'm not sure I would have qualified. Anyway, so here's the deal.
I'm not sure you went to high school. No, you did go to high school.
I can verify that, Ira. Okay. I can verify. A last point, Ira, on Arthur Blank. It's hilarious. It's not just funny. It's hilarious that the guy calls you Irv because you're the one who called Pawlowski, Justin, Jason, JP, and now we find out that somebody
Absolutely.
Else butchers your name.
Now, hold on. Here's a true story. Last year in San Francisco, after all these years, Irv, and I run into him at the Super Bowl convention center. He's getting a soft drink, you know, in the media room or whatever, and he's with his fiance, and this is like wife number three for good old.
Yeah, I've seen her on TV.
Yeah, and he gets his drink and he turns around and he says, "How you doing, Irv?" And his fiance's there, and I figured this is it. This is the moment, Steve. Everything's perfect. It's just the three of us. And I talk directly to his fiance. I leave him totally out of the conversation. And I you know, whatever her name is, Lois or whatever. I go, Lois, you don't know me. But I got my name tag hanging down, you know, and it says Ira Kaufman from the Super Bowl, you know, whatever, 50. And I go, your husband-to-be since 2002 has consistently called me Irv. And as you notice from my tag, my name is Ira. And like Arthur's like getting very sheepish about this. And she turns to him and she goes, Arthur, how could you do that? That's an insult. That's insulting to this man. You owe him an apology. Hey, I got a multi-billionaire apologizing for me. He goes, from now on, it's Ira. And we did meet him last week. We were talking to McKay at the time.
And he called you Irv.
And
he said, you look like an Irv. And that was the money line.
So from now on, it better be Ira with Arthur Blank, or I'm going to start calling him Justin.
All right, Kaufman. Now, speaking of the owners' meetings, you were had your sit-down, private sit-down with Mr. Glazer. We've seen a lot of good stuff in your columns about that.
So two out of the three people that had private sit-downs with Mr. Glazer were from Joe Bucks fans. Let's get that out there.
Yeah, you seem to like that. I don't really
I do
care,
love
but
that.
You like that. You like that.
I love that.
You're puffing your Joe Bucks fan chest.
Well,
and look at you. You're even wearing your Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa brand.
Well, I
got to
go on
shirt.
TV later today. You know, I gotta be ready.
You got to fly the colors.
Steve, we paid the fare to go out there, and we get our just rewards. Good time with Cutter, who was on our plane, by the way, Steve, going back, right? I think he was planning on going back Thursday. And the NFL owners, which, you know, I'm always stunned by how much in a rush they can't wait to get home from a plush resort in Phoenix or in Palm Beach or whatever. Next year is going to be in Orlando. And I'm sure, you know, it's not going to be the Fairfield Inn in Orlando. They can't wait to get out of there, Steve. And this year, I've been going to this thing for 15 years. I've never seen this thing wrap up on Tuesday. But to Cutter's credit, he kept that Wednesday breakfast, so... And he got out of there on our flight on Wednesday.
Yeah, a little good story about that. Now, the fans don't care about that, you know, the scheduling too much, but this was a good one. Not every coach did keep that Wednesday breakfast appointment to meet with the media. And the Redskins, Jay Gruden, was one of those coaches who said, hey, I'm going to meet, instead of the Wednesday breakfast, I'm going to meet with the media Tuesday at 5 o'clock in the same area. And so Danny Snyder, Redskins owner, who felt bad about Gruden rescheduling on the media, bought an open bar for the media for their interview session with Gruden or anybody who wanted to partake.
Are you listening, Joel? Are you listening?
Exactly. So it's open bar. Now, who buys open bar for working media? You know, I mean, you really want the media being drunk.
Is that a picture you want on Twitter? You know, if you work for the Washington Post?
Well, think about it. The owner buys cocktails so they can enjoy them while talking to his coach. I mean, it was bizarre. But what was great is we're sitting in the media room, and, you know, we're a corporation, JoeBucksFan.com, but we don't have any rules. These other guys have rules and ethics. And in comes the waitress into the media room and yells, oh, it's last call. Would anyone like anything else? It was fantastic. But there were some...
And by the time you ran out there to get your vodka cranberry, the bar was closed. So you were disappointed.
There were a few media guys who partook, and it was just beer and wine. So it wasn't that great, but it was some high-end wine there.
But we had 45 minutes with Dirk Cutter,
yeah.
and it was fruitful.
Well, yeah, it was actually a full hour. It was a full hour with Cutter. Going back to Glazer, one of the things you wrote in your column, Ira, which really intrigued me big time, Glazer had a quote that said, Jason Light and Dirk Cutter, quote, their egos are in check. Now, what did you make of that? The owner talking about the egos of these guys, you surely didn't say, hey, what's the ego like on these guys?
Steve, my interpretation is that nobody imposes their will on the other. Nobody's on a power trip, Steve. And I think the reason that Glazer felt he had to say that is you look around the league, Steve, and you just talked about the Redskins. Well, you got Bruce Allen. I mean, the guy's the ultimate survivor. He runs off McLuhan. He runs off anybody who threatens his power base. And he's not to be trifled with. He's going to have things done his way. He can't mess with Jay Gruden at this point because Gruden's been fairly successful. Gruden goes 6-10. He's out of there. The Redskins are not the only franchise that has that kind of a problem where the GM and the coach don't have, you know, mutual respect and don't fight to the death, you know, over issues. And he just likes the way that Jason and Dirk work together. You and I have been around those two, and I think Joel's got his finger on the pulse there. I think it's a good working relationship.
Interesting, Ira, interesting. When I heard the egos line, my first thought was, maybe, I'm just purely speculating, my first thought was maybe, was that a shot at Lovie Smith? Was that a shot at Greg Schiano? A couple of egomaniacal guys who thought they knew more than everybody else?
What are you, James Comey over there looking through the tea leaves? Take it easy, Mr. Nunes.
Well, I mean, is that totally off base, you think? John Gruden, obviously, and Bruce Allen, those were two egomaniacal, ego-driven guys.
Yes.
Doesn't mean they didn't want to win. Doesn't mean they didn't do some good things. But
it also means at the end of the day, Steve, you swallow your pride and you do what's best for the franchise.
Was Glazer?
And Glazer loves
was
that.
You think Glazer was feeling some of the contrast of the past relationships or no?
I didn't get that sense.
Okay.
I didn't get that sense. He just was, he's very pleased with the working relationship between his GM. A GM that is waiting for his extension, Steve. Now, we talk about, you know, Quan Alexander and Jameis Winston and Mike Evans, and you got a GM that's kind of waiting for his extension too, Steve. And you know what? One more good season, I think it's unquestionably it'll happen.
Yeah, I think it might actually happen before that.
That's right.
I really do.
That.
They might play wait and see for, you know, till October or something like that. Might go that far or through the draft. But, I mean, it's hard to judge a draft before the guys hit the field.
Glazer also said he judges the GM by their drafts.
Yeah.
And I think Jason's on very good ground there. No question.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't give him an A+, but it's strong. It's definitely
strong. I would argue, Steve, unless you want to disagree, which is your habit, the 2015 draft, I think the Bucs had the number one draft in the National Football League. Even though Winston was a bit of a no-brainer, he followed it up with some other great picks. So that draft haul from 2015, it's going to go down as one of the best in Buck history.
Yeah, I agree with you. It was a slam dunk, a grand slam. You put anything you want. I don't think Winston was necessarily a no-brainer. You had another good quarterback prospect out there. And I think time is telling and will tell even more.
I think we'd be talking up Mariota, Steve. If Mariota was a Buck,
we'd
be talking him up right now.
But he's been brittle. He's been brittle.
And Winston has not been.
And Mariota also killed his play caller for weeks in or 6 weeks in, whatever it was. Now, that's harsh, but that's the reality. And
Steve, that's not the only parallel between the Bucs and the Titans. I think you'd agree. Two young teams ascending. Maybe the Bucs are a little bit ahead of Tennessee. John Robinson, Jason Light's disciple, is now running the Titans. He's done a very nice job in a short period of time, supplementing Mariota and surrounding him with talent. And I believe they have two high picks in this upcoming draft, Steve. So don't sleep on the Titans. I think there's a lot of parallels. The difference is the Bucs have a better passing game than Tennessee at this point. But Tennessee has a better ground game. They got DeMarco Murray. While he's not running behind the line he had in Dallas, he's still better than any running back currently on a Buck roster.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. All right, Ira, your podcast is presented, of course, Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Those are the only two Cadillac dealerships in Hillsborough County. Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon, that's the only luxury dealership in Brandon. 70-plus years of Ed Morris, tremendous quality, service, care for customers. We're so proud to be associated with them. Now, the April offers, Ira, maybe by the time this podcast pops on Tuesday, maybe they'll be up there on the websites, edmorriscadillactampa.com and edmorriscadillacbrandon.com.
Did you notice, Steve, when we were walking out of the Biltmore, did you see the line of cars in the driveway to take these owners? And they were Cadillacs, Steve. They were Cadillacs. They were not Kias. So Cadillac is associated with luxury.
It's kind of like the unofficial car of the owners at the NFL
just
owners
one
meetings.
After the other, Steve. One
but,
after the other.
But Cadillacs are affordable. Tremendous offers. There's always that's what's always blown me away from our now 6-year relationship, 7 years actually, with Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Affordable luxury. Cadillac's far more affordable than most people think. Definitely visit edmorriscadillactampa.com and edmorriscadillacbrandon.com.
Did you notice some of our readers are now questioning why Kaufman doesn't have an Escalade? It's right out there in the comments.
That's out there, too. That's a hot topic.
And I'd like to thank my brother Barry for firing in from California.
That's a hot topic along with Irv. That's right up there. It's right up there. All right, Irv. So let's get to this here. Bucks fans, there's a lot of craziness here with Adrian Peterson. A lot of discussion, fueled, of course, by Peterson and Jameis Winston himself. Now, you heard the question I asked Cutter about Peterson, and you saw his face. He smiled. He laughed. He didn't say, we're not interested in Adrian Peterson.
And he also didn't say, we're bringing him in for a look-see.
He didn't say much of anything, other than he's looking forward to finding out about his workouts. which got the whole nation fired up. Now, fast forward a couple of days, Rick Stroud, Tampa Bay Buccaneers beat writer of the Times, he wrote a little thing saying the Bucs are definitely not interested in Peterson. And he actually, and you know how this goes in newspapers, he had "not" in all caps. Like, his editor approved putting that in all caps, for whatever that means. So "not" was a big deal. That's an awfully strong statement, "not interested." I would counter by saying it's a fluid situation. Not interested one day, it doesn't mean not interested the next day.
Not interested at one price means not interested. Maybe interested at another price.
Very well said, Mr. Kaufman, because it does very much come back to the money when it's free agents. So what is your take on this Peterson stuff?
I wasn't shocked. I wouldn't call it a revelation because I've written a couple of weeks ago that it's unlikely, and maybe even highly unlikely, but let's say unlikely. It's unlikely. He's visiting the Patriots today. That could be a courtesy that Belichick is throwing Peterson and his agent. You know how things work with agents, Steve.
All right, let me
I do for you, and you do for me.
Let me bang the table right now. I'm cutting you off on purpose, Ira.
Don't bang the table. You might kill a bird right
Bill here. Bill Belichick is going to extend a courtesy to bring in Peterson. What about the Bucs? Well, I've been screaming for weeks. Just bring the guy in. Put him in front of the in the boardroom. Chat with him. Let him stretch out for the team doctors. What's the problem in just bringing him in?
Maybe he makes more sense for the Patriots, Steve. You know, Belichick does have a history. The Corey Dillons of the world. He does resurrect guys for a brief period, and he kicks them to the curb. That's good. That's good management. They serve their purpose for a year or two, and then he bounces them. Same thing could happen to Peterson. LeGarrette Blount, nobody knows what's going on with LeGarrette Blount. We'll see. As far as the Bucs are concerned, Steve, I don't think it's a good fit. He doesn't catch passes. He doesn't block well. Bucs want to get younger at the position. It's unlikely, Steve. So, Buck fans, I don't want them to get their hopes up. You might disagree, but from my perspective, I don't expect it to happen. You're wondering why not.
No. I mean, all right, go ahead. Why not? I mean, you just told us why, so you don't need to.
I think there's a feeling his best days are behind him.
Sure.
He's done. We could do better in the first couple of rounds of the draft. Certainly they're going to draft a running back with a premium pick. Certainly.
Certainly. That's a strong, bold statement, Ira. Certainly. Certainly.
Well, do you think they're going to go into the new season with what they have, Steven?
Well, you said a premium pick. How do you define premium?
Top three rounds. Premium pick.
So
first 2 days.
I don't say that certainly. We might have to wager there. I'm serious, Ira.
You talk about banging on the table. Can you imagine the Glazer brothers in the draft room and round three goes by and the Bucks still got Jaquizz Rodgers and the Kemper's boy Charles Sims and Peyton Barber? There'll be some pounding on the table.
You think so? You really think so?
Well, don't take this best athlete available too literally. You got to address some needs, and the number one glaring need for the Bucs is a running back. You know that. I know that, and Buck fans know that.
I don't agree.
What do you mean you don't agree? How
don't
could
agree.
You not agree?
Glaring need?
Glaring
number
need.
Number one glaring need?
Well, they couldn't run a lick with these guys last year. Now you're going to come back with the same guys?
All right, let me ask you this.
You think J.R. Sweezy's going to make that much of a difference, Mr. Isbitt?
Let me ask you this. I think getting rid of Doug Martin simply makes this running group better.
It's not good enough.
I didn't say it was good enough, but glaring need? If somebody put a gun to your head and said, Ira, well, let's not go there.
Arthur Blank?
We don't want to entice the listeners. All right. We could debate that. We're not going to debate that now as far as the Bucks' most pressing need in this draft. Let me say this. The Glazers, I don't think they're going to be banging on the table in the third round if there's no new running back here. Good running backs are drafted all over the draft every year. Undrafted backs. I don't think there's that much stress or pressure.
Well, don't forget, you and I both are of the belief that Doug Martin's played his last game for the Bucs. Unless you want to disagree with me on that one,
no,
too.
No, I believe that wholeheartedly. No chance he's back, barring maybe some freakish spring injuries.
No chance he's back. That's as strong as Stroud on Adrian Peterson over there, Isbitt. You sure you want to go that strong?
All right, you got me. You got it.
Unlikely.
Highly unlikely.
With you on that.
Now, the readers want to know. We go out to the owners' meetings. The answer to the question is, yes, Ira, yes, you and I have talked about these topics with the Bucks brass. Okay, let's just put it on the table. You know, if somebody said, hey, Ira, did you chat with Dirk Koetter and Jason Light about these Peterson stuff?
Either on the record
and
or
the draft
off the record.
On the Roth? The answer is yes. So, yes. Do we know more than we can say on the podcast? Yes. However, it's still a fluid situation. I'm not dumb enough, you're not dumb enough, to think that what Cutter told you last Monday night is 100% true today on Monday.
That's a fair point. You know, Steve, it's interesting. In Light's first year as GM, I remember him talking up a young guard. I end up writing a feature on him for the Tribune, figuring this guy's an up-and-comer. A week later, the guy's gone in the first wave of cuts, August 22nd. I go up to Light. Well, what the heck happened? Light, you're talking this guy up like he's John Hanna. Light goes, fluid situation, Kaufman. We had better people. So you're right to a point. Always to a point, Isbits. I'm never going to say you're right. But to a point. Could it change? Yes. Post-draft, if things don't fall the Bucks' way, I still think they'd have a glaring need at running back, and they'd be foolish not to look at Adrian Peterson.
Well, I think Peterson really just comes down to money. If he's only looking for $2, $3 million, all of a sudden he's good value.
You pointed the last time he was healthy, he led the league in rushing. Am I wrong?
Two seasons ago. So if his price comes down, the Bucks and a lot of other teams would be interested as well. One thing I wrote about today, Ira, I know you didn't see it, but I know how much you have an affection for original research.
Love the original research.
Now, if Lee was here, Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan.com, he'd be talking about the track record of 32-year-old running backs.
And after he trashes Charles Sims.
Right. And yeah, he'd be talking about how few ran for 1,000-plus yards, maybe a dozen in NFL history. Well, the last ancient Buccaneers running back, Ira, last ancient Bucs running back that took the field, he was extraordinarily productive for a good Buccaneers team. He even had 186 carries, and that was 33-year-old Warrick Dunn.
Nice.
Back in 08.
Nice.
He averaged 4.2 yards a carry on 186 carries for this team. And he caught 46 balls. Now, nobody remembers that or thinks about it, but would it be so bad if Adrian Peterson walked into this team and carried 13 times a game and ran for 4.3 yards a carry? That would set up play action. That would make him the best running back on this team. I think people have the wrong expectation of Peterson if he does come here. Just be a good, productive back. That's okay. And he's going to scare the crap out of defenses. You know that, Calvin. I know you know that.
Well, he didn't have a tremendous line behind him in Minnesota.
Nope.
And if he comes to Tampa, he won't have a tremendous line in front of him here. See, I'm more honest than you are, Isbit. You think the Bucs are fighting the Dallas Cowboys for best offensive line in football. You got Sweezy making the Pro Bowl. I think they got an adequate line, and we'll see what happens with Marpet. And by the way, let's talk about this a little bit because it's going to happen. Marpet's going to start OTAs at center.
Yeah.
And we've discussed that. We'll see how that works out. I'm not sure that's going to be the opening day lineup. We'll see. Much depends on Sweezy's health. Do I have any faith at all in Adrian Peterson? I do, but I still think it's highly unlikely. I think another team would be more interested in Peterson.
I think it's highly unlikely as well, but I wouldn't mind seeing it if the money is right. And not that it's my money, but if it makes sense, you can still draft a guy in the third round. You could still draft Marlon Mack in the third round and sign Adrian Peterson.
You got to think Peterson would come in very hungry, Steve. Very hungry. He wants to play in a big game. He wants to play in a Super Bowl. Peterson brings some things to the table.
He's coming to a good football team, veteran coordinator, up-and-coming quarterback. It's an exciting club to be a part of. We'll leave Peterson at that. Now, Ira, we are at our home away from home today, which is Hooters Port Richey.
Right on the water,
I know how
Steve.
Much you enjoy Hooters, Ira. You're watching the water. You're watching the wait staff studying their techniques in serving food.
The birds are chirping, and so are Buck fans.
We got the
Steve.
Music in the background. This is
Steve. How would we describe expectations right now in Tampa? I mean, it's going through the roof. Lightning look like they're not going to make the playoffs. The Rays, game one notwithstanding, are not expected to make the playoffs. It's all about the Bucks right now, Steve. All about the Bucks in Tampa.
And
as I said in my column, even Joel Glazer, who's very composed and doesn't like to get ahead of himself, you and I sat down with him, and the confidence was kind of oozing from Joel Glazer. Oozing.
So wait a minute, Ira. So you've written off the Lightning? Is this what you're saying? They're like what?
Highly unlikely.
Two
Steve.
Points out or something?
No. Check your standings over there. Do a little original research, Steve. It's unlikely. Now they got to play in Boston Tuesday night. They got to win that game. We'll see what happens.
All right, Calvin. All right.
Even if they make it, Steve, they'll have to play the Capitals, and it should be an early exit.
I don't want you upsetting Lightning fans. We got plenty of them on the podcast.
Plenty of them.
to finish up our Hooters at Port Richey here. So nice to be here. Yeah, it's just we love
Hooters.
Weather's
perfect.
Proud supporters of JoeBucksFan.com since 2011, and we're just, they don't even know we were coming today. We're just at our perch enjoying ourselves.
You know, I still got that taste of that beet salad in my palate from last week, the Riesling, to wash it down, the short ribs. I'm hoping you'll pick up the tab for today. If you do, there might be some lobster on the menu that I can explore.
So, Kaufman, just so it's clear, because I really respect and love Hooters, there is no beet salad on the menu here, which is one reason I like coming here, and most cool guys do. All right. So, Ira, when we were sitting with Dirk Cutter, you asked about Darryl Smith, a strong side linebacker last year, played every single game, made some plays, was certainly not a liability on the field. He's 35 years old. You asked about him coming back. What did Cutter tell you?
He seemed uncertain, and if I had to make a bet, Stephen, and I'm 1-0 in my bets against you, so we might do another wager. I say Darryl Smith's done. I say he's not coming back, and he retires. That's my feeling. You know, it's not so much what Cutter said, but it's how he said it, what he didn't say. What he didn't say is, I expect Darryl Smith out here for OTAs. I expect Darryl Smith to return. He did a decent job. He showed his presence, on some splash plays. Not a lot. Having said that, Steve, you and I have been watching the Bucs forever. That position just doesn't make splash plays. Strong side linebacker. It's always been the weak side. It's always been Brooks, and it's always been Lavonne David. That's just the way it is. Even though the Buck defense has now, you know, transformed itself away from the traditional Tampa 2. The strong side linebacker still doesn't make a lot of plays in this defense.
Well,
and I think there'll be a new strong side linebacker.
I agree that Darryl Smith's probably done, but I feel funny about saying that position doesn't make a lot of splash plays. Yes, you're right, and it's only on the field 50-55% of the time, but you still want the best guy out there you can get. And it's not as if that position doesn't get a chance to make tackles or have picks. Heck, I'm going to pull a name out here. 2 years ago, Danny Lansana had like 3 or 4 interceptions from that position. Still, I think he's gone, and I wanted to ask you that. But Cutter was very noncommittal. It was
very,
very, very bizarre.
He talked about Smith's leadership, which I think is fair. And I would have thought he's definitely talking about Quan Alexander, taking him under his wing. But he even extended it to Lavonte David. I thought that was interesting.
He did.
Smith's been in the league a long time. I believe Cutter had him in Jacksonville. Mike Smith had him in Jacksonville. When Cutter was there, he is a heck of a leader, good locker room guy. His presence will be missed a little bit, but I don't see him coming back, Steve.
I got you. Now, Ira, we are, it's hard to believe, we're just, 23 days from the draft.
Boy, are you counting
23 days.
And less than that for OTAs.
Bucks report back April 17th.
Wow.
And a little bit of news on JoeBucksFan.com for those who didn't see it yet. I asked Cutter at the owners' meetings whether they were going to do joint practices again. Last year they did 2, Cleveland and Jacksonville. And he said, this year we're only going to do 1, but he wouldn't reveal where that was. But he said it would be on the road in week 2 of preseason. And he liked that training camp, getaway, bonding feel. Well, I tapped my sources across the country. I've been pounding the pavement to find out where the hell that joint practice is going to be. And it was reported Monday on JoeBucksFan.com that it will be at Jacksonville again. So they'll be out there. Light will be schmoozing with Tom Coughlin.
You love that. You love that lonely drive through. I don't know if you go up 301. I'm not sure how you go to Jacksonville, but I usually go up through all those speed trap towns. Steve, Stark, Baldwin. You know all Citra.
Sure.
And I've been driving with you in Phoenix last week, and you're going to be in a lot of trouble. you never saw a bumper you didn't want to tailgate. Steve, you're in the wrong lane 3/4 of the time. It was quite an escapade.
I haven't had anyone crack on my driving since the last time I drove my mother around.
Unbelievable. How you return that rental car intact is beyond me, Steve.
You're telling me I'm in the wrong lane. I don't know where I'm going. I'm figuring it out.
Somehow we made it, though. Somehow we did.
We did survive. I didn't see you grabbing the wheel, Kaufman.
I did go to Mesa.
You did go to Mesa to hang out with Joe Madden. If you didn't read that column, Ira sitting down with Joe Madden, who's a big Bucks fan.
Yes.
A guy who attends Bucks games and had some real good insight into the feel of the fan base and the relationship of Jason Light.
And by the way, Light finished off his trip to Phoenix by going out to the Cubs' final preseason game, which was last Wednesday in Mesa. Madden invited Light and his entire family. Cutter was supposed to go. But because Cutter was able to get out on a Wednesday and get on our flight, Steve, he decided...
You're obsessed with Cutter being on our flight.
He just wanted a little extra time with us at the concourse. And now look, you sat right behind him, Steve.
Did you see me harass him?
He put the headphones on and he was incommunicado.
Did you see me harass him at the concourse there?
Oh, my goodness. Even his wife was looking at you askance. Oh, boy. Leave the man alone, Steve. You just had an hour with him.
I had was one important personal question I had for him, and he was actually appreciative that I asked before I wrote something.
Call him Dirk, or did you call him Irv?
I call him Coach. Call him Coach. That's all I ever call him.
There you go.
All right, Ira, before we hit the streets here on your podcast presented by Edmore's Cadillac Tampa and Edmore's Cadillac Brandon, with the draft so close now, 23 days, on the defensive side of the ball, we're not going to argue running back and other stuff now. On defense, what's your gut that the Bucs do on defense in this draft? What's your gut?
Defensive end. They fortified the tackle spot with Baker. They got McDonald in the rotation. McCoy, obviously, is the stud up front in the middle. I'm still not sold they got enough pressure on the edge. I mean, I'm not. Things change. We don't know what's going on with Jacquees Smith. Howard Jones is gone. Ayers got hurt his first season. Golston, negligible factor on the pass rush. And Noah Spence is your emerging stud. Correct me if I'm wrong, Steve, but Noah Spence also has some medical issues that he has to prove he has overcome. Early word is encouraging on Noah Spence.
Early word from Jason Light, as we reported, was he's an animal.
He's a, quote, animal, and I believe that was in response to my question. So I get the credit for that.
You get the credit, Ira.
Even though you put it in your column instead of mine, I understand. I'm not satisfied, Steve.
Team player you are, Ira.
See, that's the kind of egos that Glazer's talking about with the GM and the coach.
At least your ego's a jet.
Steve. They need more pressure. They need more pressure. Light said it twice, I believe, at the combine. Cutter, when I asked Cutter about the pass rush, he seemed to think it was okay. You know, middle of this pack on pass rush. But you and I watched all the games. There were five games when the pass rush was very good. But, Steve, when they needed it most, at Dallas, at New Orleans, season on the line, very little pressure on Prescott.
They didn't get it.
Very little on Breeze.
They didn't get it.
Didn't get it.
Now I'm depressed. You bring up Dallas and New Orleans, I'm depressed.
And you know, look, there were a lot of factors.
So I'm putting you on the record here, Ira.
I'm saying defensive end from a defensive standpoint.
So you think the first defensive pick in this draft, you're going to call it now, I'm going to make you call it, the first defensive pick in this draft is on the defensive line?
I think so. It's not going to be strong side linebacker. It's not. It's not going to be defensive tackle. It's going to be defensive end.
We'll give a shot at an edge rusher. Well, you know what? I have some homework for you, Ira. You know what? When you mentioned Jacquees Smith, text your pal John Lynch. See if he's still interested in Smith
out there.
Since Jacquees went out there to visit with the Niners.
There's no offer sheet, right?
There's no offer sheet yet. I'm sure Mr. Lynch might say, now we're off that.
You know what? I'm going to text him today.
Thank you, Ira. Thank you. All right. Breaking news from the Kaufman working his sources.
Should I call him John? I call him by his right name, right? Don't do an Irv on him.
I don't know how you call him.
Right.
I believe you just call him Lynch when you see him.
You know what? On our next segment, we'll get into some Hall of Fame stuff because it feels like it's right on the horizon again, baby. And some of it's going to be disconcerting to Buck fans, as you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, Iris. So we're wrapping up here your podcast presented by Edmore's Cadillac Tampa. Thanks for everybody listening. Thousands and thousands listening every single week. Iris podcasts, of course, fire Tuesdays and Thursdays on JoeBucksFan.com. But you can listen anytime you want. And sometimes we even sneak in a bonus podcast if Mr. Kaufman has had his beet salad and has the energy to do it.
And we had Jason Light on last week, and there's going to be other Buck people to come.
If you missed that, go back and listen to Jason Light. Where he answers your question on the podcast, giving you credit, Ira, about Noah Spence. You can hear Jason Light talk about Noah Spence being an animal. And I still have a little audio from Light. He'll be on a future podcast as we get closer to the draft. So there you go, and thanks for coming out, Ira.